These is gonna have to be big.
That's the biggest they make.
All right.
So just going through everything, you got to talk through right here on that mic at all times. Now you can grab this and do whatever you want with it, but in order for us and for us to hear you, you got to talk right there at all times.
Okay.
You.
Is that good?
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
Man, this thing. Where did you get this stuff? It's kind of shouty.
Shouty.
Yeah. Yeah. Facebook Marketplace.
Yes. That I find a lot of good deals there.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that. I guess let's start there. What's been your most recent Facebook Marketplace find?
I bought a 14-foot skiff for my mud motor from Thailand. And I bought it from Mike Honcho.
His name is legally Mike Honcho.
Yes, yes. You should interview this guy.
Well, I'm going to have to get his contact. I mean, I guess I know his name.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to find the real Mike Honcho.
Yes.
Instead of the fake one.
Yes.
But what's a, I guess, tell it, what you getting a mud motor for, is it a mud boat? Like, explain what are you going to do with that? Like.
Probably sink it.
Yeah, but.
Tomorrow.
But you have no need for it.
No, but the guys at work that come by while we're out there welding in the, not in the marsh, but like in between the interstate I-10 over there in Laplace, them old men's been coming through there, and they use them Go Devils. But I'm cheap.
So you got the Go Wayne.
I didn't buy a Chinese one. I bought one from Thailand.
Is that isn't that like the same?
No, Thailand. I don't know where it's at, but it ain't nowhere around China.
I got you. And how long's the engine?
This whole thing from the handle to the prop, it's like 12 foot long. Yes,
that's just the engine. That ain't the boat.
Yeah, that's just a motor.
So how long's the unit going down the road? Like when you're hauling this thing, how long?
Oh, you turn it around and put it up in the boat forward. You turn around backwards.
And it's every bit as long as the boat.
Yes, yes. And the trailer has obviously hit something, and this wheel on the passenger side is kicked out about like that. I was going to jack it back around, but it made it home, so we're just going to run what we brung.
I heard that.
You're listening to Off the Gas and On the Mic with Chase Holland.
All right, so now let's get into the podcast side of it. This is my Uncle Wayne Holland, my dad's brother. As you can tell, they look almost exactly alike. But this is about the closest thing to Joe Dirt I'm ever going to have on my podcast. And
unless you get this Mike Honcho guy, I'm telling you, he's the real deal.
Yeah, you haven't even begun yet, though.
He's got, like, everything except for the cracked skull with the grown back over on the hair weave.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, how old are you? 50, what's 50. Your occupation?
50. I'm a welder.
You're 50?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Well,
yeah, it was my birthday. You didn't even call me on my birthday. It was just the other day.
Yeah, I did.
July 18th. No, you didn't.
I called you.
I waited.
You didn't answer.
I sat up and waited all day.
Well, dang. All right. So you're a welder. Mm-hmm. We had that on last week, and he told us all of his jobs. So what have been your jobs? What have you done before, prior to being a welder?
That's all I ever been was a welder. Oh, I worked at Winn-Dixie, and we made sausage in the meat department.
How long did you last?
Well, I lasted till they moved me to produce, and they had me packing grapes, and I ate so many grapes that I had to quit. I got sick.
How old were you?
Young. I don't know. However old you had to – you got a job. And, I mean, I know you don't know.
But
when you – turned a certain age, as soon as you got a driver's license, I think 15, you could get a job. So I worked at Winn-Dixie.
And you got fired for eating too many grapes, huh?
No, I didn't get fired. I just got so sick of the grapes, and they kept putting me in there, and I couldn't quit eating them. So I just I quit.
Were they purple grapes, green grapes?
They like, were them green, them light green ones.
Okay.
I still don't like them so much. But I eat a couple things of them, but I don't like them. I just eat them.
You just tolerate them, huh?
Yeah, I just tolerate them.
All right. Well, what was your first welding job? Like, what'd you do? What were you doing at that time?
When I was a welder?
When you were a welder, yeah, when you started out. Like, what were you welding on?
I learned how to weld in high school. And, you know, Dad's side of the family, just about all of them were into something in the automotive deal there. But, Dad's real dad on the Holland side, all of those are welders. And I just had interest in welding, and I took it in high school and found out that, you know, that's about when I found out about and met some of the other Holland side of the family, and they're all welders. Hmm. And that's what we did.
Gotcha. Well, at that age and everything, you loved racing, huh?
No,
you always had a love for racing.
No, I never cared about racing. Still don't. I don't even know why I'm here. But
got to be here. He's like Kyle Busch in one of his interviews. Well, you just no, here I, so you don't get in trouble, huh?
No, I was an ugly little and I had to go and I'm getting some comments.
Getting
from
censored.
My wife. But yeah, I was getting. I was ugly, and I'm not. I mean, you can't tell by looking at me now. I'm good looking. But, and I'm a lot to look at.
When'd you grow out of it?
Not much over your age. Just keep waking up. But yeah, I had to be out, you know, doing something other than racing on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. So you hated racing, just didn't want anything to do with it. Dad told me, though, that when the car was destroyed, you came in and fixed it just because it was fab work.
I learned how to Uncle Ford taught me how to work on stuff. And I remember some of the first things that he taught me was, like, how to make a tack and, you know, make it come to the square and, you know, what side to tack it on and this and that. And I actually built some of Chabot's cars down at Dad's old shop, and I built cars, but I didn't ever care about racing. And don't get me wrong, I didn't build cars like this.
Yeah, tell us about the first one that y'all built. It was you, Dale, and Dad, wasn't it? Or was that the first one y'all built? Or I know that was one of them.
I probably built one before that, but I really don't remember. It was a Pinto. I'm sure it was a Pinto because that's what Chabot used to run. But but I seen an old video the other night that Mom had made me, and actually Chabot was a hell of a driver. He run the
mess out of it,
he
huh?
He run the mess out of that thing.
Look, you can let it fly. We got editors.
You got a beeper?
Yeah, I got a beeper.
Okay.
We'll put a dolphin over you or something.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you built cars. You did all of that. What did high school look like? Yeah, I heard you were kind of a troublemaker to an extent. You flipped a truck running from the cops and told them that you wanted them to take you to jail. Tell us about that.
Oh, that was just bad decisions early on.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, the throttle stuck.
Running from the law.
Well, he was behind me, but he was way back. I tell you what, when I put a gap on somebody, he was way back. I was way ahead.
You had him covered, huh?
Yeah.
Well, how to get you?
Well, I was gonna try to slide out on County Farm Road South, and when I threw my old truck from third gear up into second, three of the four tires rolled off the rims because I hadn't really cared too much about tire pressure in them days. And the thing flipped several times and then come to a stop up against you know, just right up against a light pole. And I was standing on the roof like it was a surfboard. And, you know, of course, the first thing you're going to do when you done rolled your truck and the blue lights are behind you, you're going to run the opposite way of the blue lights. Well, that door wouldn't open, so I ran and hit the other door. And that cop, he done got out, and he had the old revolver cold, stuck it to my head, said, freeze. And anyway, I just said the throttle stuck. And the old truck was upside down. And it was really funny because it was sitting there, bloop, 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 bloop.
It was still running?
It was still running upside down. And it, and the song was on wide open. The wipers don't work and the horn don't blow, but there ain't nothing wrong with the radio. True story.
So it's on its lid, it's running, and it's playing that, huh?
Yes, yes.
And I mean, what did you, you told him the throttle hung, but then it was, and then what would you tell him?
He said, well, it didn't, I didn't see brake lights. And I said, well, man, I don't know what to tell you. And then, you know, everything cooled down. He put his gun up and, I don't think he handcuffed me, you know, back then they didn't just wrestle a mug to the ground, but, he just, said, we're going to have to call your dad. I said, oh, let's just cut that out and just take me to jail. And, anyway, they asked me what record service, did I know what record service to use? And I don't remember what one it was, but right as the wrecker was rolling the truck back over onto its wheels, the windshield popped out on the ground, and dad comes pulling up, and he gets out of the car and grabs the windshield and just and throws it in the back of the truck with his bare hands, and them cops all started scrambling around, and
they's ready to head to the jail with you, huh?
No, they said, Mr. Holland, Wayne's only done damage to his own stuff tonight. We think you got this handled. And they got on out of there, and then there I was stuck with dad. But it wasn't that bad. It all worked out.
You ended up driving that thing the rest of high school, huh?
Yeah, it was a cool old truck. Uncle Ford jacked it back around straight, and it was cool. It had about three fingers of silicone wide to hold the windshield in it. It was pretty cool.
And the radio still worked. Never quit.
Yeah, yeah, it did.
Heck, yeah.
Good stuff. Well, they made good stuff back then. That was a 73 Ford F-150.
Yeah, I feel like I hate that I don't already have stuff written down, but there was another story about you having bald tires. Tell us about that. You left them everywhere, a little bit of them everywhere.
Oh, I did that every weekend. I don't really I don't recollect that.
Or maybe it was oil. I can't remember. You checked it because it was leaking here, there, and something like that. I can't remember.
Well, my rear end locked up one time, and Dad said, "Have you been checking that grease in the rear end? You know, they just don't lock up, you know." And I said, yeah, it had grease in it. And he said, well, how do you know? I said, because it's been a puddle everywhere I went. I think I got for that.
So you were not necessarily the – you could talk your way out of situations, huh? You can kind of smooth things over just by saying something stupid, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard. I remember Dad telling us that Dale, and then I don't remember if Chrissy went to jail or not. I think her parents just came and got her, but they went to jail. And on the way, Dale and Dad were worried sick that something was going to happen, and you had that smoothed over by the time Pawpaw got there to pick him up.
So, yeah, we just kind of laughed about it, I think, if I remember that right.
Always just a smooth talkers. Mm-hmm. Could get your way through anything. But let's step back even further, back to your first day of, I guess it was kindergarten, huh? They came to pick you up.
It was elementary school. Yeah, first time I got on the school bus, man, I was standing out there. I can still remember it. Had some little tight jeans on, a little plaid shirt. And I was standing out there with my neighbor, Denise Walters. And anyway, I was standing out there with her, and she was like, it's okay, Wayne, here's the school bus, because I started backing up. Well, the reason I was backing up, when I seen the school bus coming, I on both legs and filled my boots. So the driver wouldn't let me get on the bus. Mom and Dad had to bring me to school the first day. Pissed in my boots, first day of school. First day, first grade.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was cool.
but it got better from there, obviously. You got you graduated and made it through, huh?
Yeah, I graduated and I was out of there. I didn't have to go. I didn't go to no college or nothing like that. I just worked.
Well, tell us about work. What one of your first memories, good, bad, ugly, whatever.
When I first got out of school, I was too young to go to work like in an industrial environment, I guess. I think I was 17 when I graduated, but just for a little while I was 17, and I took the postal exam and I scored 100% on that, and they offered me a job at the post office, but it was sorting mail on night shift, and I was like, like I said, I was an ugly little so I had to chase women if I was gonna have one, so I couldn't do it in the daytime because they'd be able to see me good. But anyway, I ended up going to work at Struthers Industries in Gulfport, and they back then they used to give you a real test, it was math and stuff like that. Well, I scored 100% on their test, and I hired in as a grinder instead of going to work for the post office. And I was there for about, I don't know, it wasn't very long, 4 months, and they had a QC, just like put your foot in the door, QC receiving inspector position come available. And they remembered I had scored so high on that test, so they let me interview for it, and I talked my way into getting that little job. And I had an office, it had air conditioning, but
you was an inspector. You became an inspector, huh?
Yeah, but not a real inspector. Like I would check material test reports up against what was in the ASME code book, and I would make sure that the stuff was in the elements were within range of what they needed to be to pass the ASME code and be legit to go on these high pressure feed water heaters, chemical drums, bundles, tube bundles, stuff like that. And anyway, I bumped on along there and ended up having my oldest son Gage in 1999, and 94. Yeah. Thank you for
Connor was 99, huh?
Yeah, Connor was 99. But bumped along there and come up for a raise a couple times, but in order for me to move further in inspection, I would need to get my CWI. Well, one of the first things they do in order to get your CWI or whatever, or back then, they would give you a eye test, and I was colorblind. I couldn't see none of them numbers in them spots. Like you told me to turn the red light on, that's got me delayed right now from the camera. But I couldn't see those spots and pull those numbers out, so I couldn't get no more money.
You was tapped out right there.
Tapped out where, it just – so I tell them, hey, I want to go to welding. And they said, well, you can't go from salary to a shop position. You can't go back out in the shop. I said, well, I'll go to the shipyard. So I called old Dale, and he got me hooked up, and I went to Gulf Coast Fabrication, was my first welding job, as aside from in dad's shop.
Well, so you started welding like that, and then later on, dad comes into the picture as far as welding goes. He came out there and started welding with y'all. And he told us that y'all kind of picked on him. I mean, y'all all picked on each other, like y'all all pranked each other. But what was one of your most memorable pranks on dad out in the shipyard or wherever, just out on the job site?
Well, it wasn't a prank, but the first day, did he tell you about the first day?
When his bucket got crushed.
Yeah, his bucket got crushed by the gantry. That was pretty.
And then he blew a hole through his first weld.
Yeah, and then. But yeah, we used to just mess around all the time with all kinds of stuff, put a not a cut all the way through in the gas hose, but just about all the way through, and then put one all the way through, and then when you make that splice, then you a couple foot down, you see the sand blow up because that one that was almost through went through. And every time you fix one, next thing you know, there's another one down the line. Chabo was the master at really getting you back for messing with him. But he used to always set his stuff up real good and have like an air horn or what, you know. And I'd like to take and get a bunch of Coke bottles and stuff, like 20-ounce bottles or what, and I would put them in a bucket, and I'd get his air horn turned toward him in the hole that he was in, and then I'd dump that whole bucket of 20-ounce bottles into the air horn, and they would like a blow dart gun. They would just shoot all over him, and I'd pile him up. We did stuff like that, and
y'all locked him out in the outhouse too one time.
Yeah, we locked him at Bender Shipyard, Bender Marine. Yeah, and turned the heater on, and me and Jay Bird, well, mostly me. Jay Bird didn't want to turn the heater on, and he wanted to go help him, but
he made it out finally.
Yeah,
he wasn't fired up, was he?
He was a little disappointed in us, and he was real sweaty.
So you talk about Dad and the pranks you did there and that kind of stuff, but what Uncle Allboy was out there for a while. What tell us I guess what your most memorable thing has been while being out on a job site.
I really can't think of anything, you know, that would be funny. I remember getting hit in the face with that grinder a few years back, and that was real.
That didn't seem to slow you down, though.
It did.
I mean, it did. Obviously
about,
hurt
about
you,
two
but
2 months, I wouldn't even drive from up by the house here. I would stop and tell Chavis to put his grinder down, and then I would come up in here. I wasn't getting around no grinder.
So what happened for the people that are curious on that?
The day before, my lenses got wet and my shield had to flip up. So, you know, you got the shield and then you flip it up and you can grind it safely grind or what. The lenses got wet in that shield. And the next morning when I came in, I didn't feel like changing those lenses. I just wanted to get right to work and get started, you know, probably because the sun would be in my back or whatever, you know, whatever the reason was. And I was on this little platform out on the Mississippi River, and I put a brand new 6-inch by quarter grinding wheel on a grinder with no guard, no handle, and then I just had my shield kicked up. And of course, I had glasses on. I used to wear shades dark safety glasses all the time when I welded back when I could see. Now I got to wear these cheaters, and I'm only up to a 125 on them. But man, that grinder kicked back and hit me in the face, and I just, whoo, man, it was a bunch of stitches, bunch of blood, and real embarrassing because I had probably more experience than 10 people put together on the job. But I got out of there with like 19 stitches in my face and some grinded down teeth and stuff like that.
But here you are. It didn't slow you down because obviously you went right back to doing the same.
Same stuff, but with a guard.
Right.
With a handle. The handle would have been the most best thing to have, but definitely with my flip lens shield. Face shield all the time.
Well, so you've been in the fabrication side of things. You've done all kinds of stuff. What has been the coolest thing that you've built, like, industrial-wise? Like what's been the biggest thing you've been a part of as far as that goes? Like what's something that you look back and you're like, man, we built that?
Man, I built so much stuff. I don't even know what would be cool.
It doesn't have to be cool. It's just got to be like, you know.
Wow, I was part of that.
Yeah, the biggest thing that you were a part of.
I wouldn't know. I know a couple months ago, I was hanging on a 5/16 cable in a windshield washer basket at the 205-foot elevation. That was the scariest thing I ever did in a minute.
So you aren't afraid of heights, I don't guess, huh?
Well, yes. I'm not afraid of heights, but I'm afraid of running out of money. And they said, hey, if you don't get up there, you ain't getting paid this week. So I went on up there.
Mm. Well, dang, let's go here. I was thinking about this. You always been a fighter, though, huh? You love to fight.
I lost every fight.
But you love to fight.
Yeah, I've been stupid enough to like to fight sometimes.
Well, tell us about it. What you entered in it, so we talked about it on Patreon, but we haven't. This is a different group of people. But you entered in a tough man competition.
Tough man. Where Butterbean come from?
Well, how'd it go for you? You didn't make it like Butterbean, huh?
I tried to jump out the ring because my headgear come down over my face, and I tried to jump out the ring.
It came down and you got smoked, huh?
Yeah, blood everywhere. It was gruesome.
And who were you? What was your? Who were you against?
This cat's name was Big Mac Macbeth out of Jackson, Mississippi, if I'm right. And he was a ex-cop, ex-marine, or ex-marine, ex-cop, and he was presently a nurse. So I was fighting a nurse, and I got winded. I won, but I got winded, and I just...
You won being the first one out the ring.
No, I was on the ground when the ref said, hey, man, are you going to get up? And I just spit my mouthpiece out and said, no, I'm not getting up.
You were done right there,
yeah,
huh?
I was like, what, are you a dummy? You don't see me sitting here breathing hard?
So what was your nickname when they were walking you out? Like, what were your credentials?
Well, I didn't have no credentials. I was, well, of course... My first name's George, so since I didn't have a name, they made one, and they come out singing that song, George, George, George of the Jungle, watch out for that tree. And, you know, I'm confused by that, and I'm standing in the ring, but, you know, I felt like I was pretty tough, you know. And then they called this dude out, and he's like, he fought before a lot of times. And I was like, man, I ain't never fought nothing. And I only was there because I had told my buddy Randy Melton that I was going to get in that thing, and then he had gotten in a car accident and died, so I couldn't back down. But I was thinking about it, you know, when they called all that dude's credentials out, like, he had more trophies than you got.
So did he go on to win the tournament, competition?
He lost.
So there was somebody more bad than
yeah,
he
there
was.
Was a guy that I thought I could definitely beat. It was an old fat redheaded boy. I thought I could beat him, but shoot, man, he ended up whooping that boy that whooped me.
So that ended your fighting, your professional fighting career.
I don't think I've been in a fight since, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about your rat rod. What caused you to build a rat rod? And let's start here. You took my daddy bought the frame from you. You built the frame originally and then quit. You just quit.
Yeah, I built the frame and then I quit.
And my daddy bought the frame from you.
$226.
Yep, he bought it like it was for me.
Yeah.
And we come out one day and you're like, we're building this rat rod right here.
Yeah. It didn't help, so you lost out.
I lost. I lost that. But so you took your frame back. And you started building a rat rod. Where'd the idea come from?
Where'd the idea?
To build that rat rod.
Just finishing something for once in my life. But now I'm thinking about taking it apart and putting a motor in my 86 Ford.
I was hoping you would be like, what's that show, Gas Monkey Garage or whatever. Like, I put... blah 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 and blah. Any other time you tell us about
I could have
super sucker intake you put on and all kinds of stuff, and now it's like, yeah, I built one.
I would have probably been all about that, but I just, the news wore off of it, and last time I rode in it, it hurt my ass so bad that I couldn't ride it in another minute. You could ask him. I was screaming by the time we got back to the house. I've got to fix my brake pedals. They're too close. And it's got me jammed up, and there's already no cushions on the seats. It's just tractor seats sitting on the floor. And it's just a bad design, and I need to fix it.
Well, I've got a memory of it. Whenever you spit the axle out, the whole right hub off of it, doing a burnout right here. Well, the other thing is when you hit that bridge over by Nana and Pawpaw's old house, and that almost ended your life.
The bridge, and I had forgot to weld the spring perch for the suicide axle, and it was just tacked. And I had about 50 miles on that thing by the time she finally broke. And luckily, there wasn't nobody coming because the engine just hit the ground. Poof. And it kind of just coasted off the road.
And then we get a phone call. We were loading up to go to Baton Rouge, and we get a phone call. We heard you tear out of here, but it sounded like you made it away from here. And you call and you say, "Hey, I'm broke down," and right past the driveway. And we come out in your wheel tire, a piece of your hub, and your axle was in the woods, and you were on the opposite side of the road.
Yeah, thing passed me up. But it was a bad out, and I didn't back out. When it started grinding and it fell down to one side, I just kept tearing it up.
You stayed in it, huh?
Yeah. But I've already had to weld another rear end in there since then. That was two rear ends. No, that was the third or fourth rear. It's got the fourth rear end in it now. It just won't hold up. Anything with a clutch, you can get up to about 4,000 or 5,000 RPMs and slide your foot off the clutch, it's probably gonna come apart.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. So you're gonna take it apart now. This rat rod that you spent all this time on, you're gonna tear it down and just take the engine out of it. That's it.
Yeah, I just don't love it anymore.
Okay, so is that what we can expect with the mud boat?
Oh yeah, probably tomorrow I'll sink that thing and not love it anymore.
And then awesome cook. You cook all kinds of stuff. You barbecue. What all, like, you built a smoker, you built a barbecue trailer. Like what's been your favorite thing on the cooking side that you've built?
Probably the concession trailer I had before I got divorced, and it was real good. And even after I remarried, me and Kim cooked real good on it. But it was so big, I just didn't have nowhere to park it. Like, you know, there's a lot of things around here that I keep having to park because I don't have nowhere to park anything. But so we got rid of that thing, and we built just a grill, like, on the old big concession trailer. And it still does real good. I loaned it to some friends of mine, and they do a lot of donating and donating their time and their barbecue and generating revenue, and they do a lot of good with it.
Well, good. Man, the thing that...
I really don't remember anything anymore. That's the thing. When you keep waking up, you forget stuff.
You get better looking and you forget stuff, huh? Yeah. That's what it is.
That's been my experience.
Huh. Well, anyways. The wheel grill's been about the thing that just drove me nuts that you built, because... You built one and showed me pictures, and this is what we're cooking, and I'm like, that's easy. I'm going to do that. And
yeah, the wheel grill's still at the house. We need to break it out and cook on it.
I know, yeah,
I love
exactly.
That thing. I like making street tacos make fat guys smile, and I like making street tacos right on the wheel grill, and it's fun, and when it cools off a little bit, maybe we'll break that thing out. Right there beside the house. It's got a bird nest in it. And the eggs didn't hatch because I moved the nest a little bit. But I built her a fine little house out of some cedar planks, but evidently they don't like cedar planks.
So ultimately, I mean, I guess what people can gather from this is you just a fabricator. Like, you constantly building something, constantly doing something. Like, there's the mini bike. I mean, we can just name off countless things that you've done and built, but you don't stay with it.
I love my mini bike. I just... hadn't rode it since last weekend, but I still scooted around the neighborhood. I'm like the only 333-pound guy in the neighborhood that still rides a mini bike. You know, a lot of people in our neighborhood, they walk and they exercise and they got bikes and stuff like that, but I got a mini bike because I never had one when I was a kid. So why wouldn't you have one now? Even though you got diabetes and you ain't got high blood pressure and you're overweight by 200 pounds. Why wouldn't you have a mini bike? I don't understand why anybody wouldn't want one.
Yeah, and it hasn't hurt you at all, ever.
Oh, yeah, it hurt me. It hurt me. It threw me a couple times.
It got you over here that day. You tried to ride a wheelie. Have you put a wheelie bar on
it?
No,
I didn't try to ride it. It just hooks up.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, by accident, I make stuff that hooks up better than it should, like my mini bike, like my rat rod. I built that triangular four link out of one of them Suburban trailing arms. I had two of them, and I had them Equinox. They was just laying there at Barry's, and the other one looked like it was easy to get out, so I took them trailing arms, and I made a triangulated four link. Man, that thing bikes better than any of these MB custom cars.
You think?
Yeah.
I'll have to send Jimmy the design, the blueprints.
Yeah, and that pinion angle, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably the wrong way.
I did send Chad Weirs with Weirs Machine and Racing Products pictures of your spring perches and then your J-bar steering assist. Took that J-bar and cut it down.
Shaft bearing.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, you've
and it's welded to the roll cage.
Yeah, you've repurposed a few race car parts around here.
That, it was stretched, though.
Yeah.
It was stretched.
Gently used.
Gently used, yes.
Well, I guess that's kind of all that I've got for you, or all that I can really question you about. I hate that you've forgotten half the things that you've done in life, because I expected you to just have story after story. Kind of disappointing.
Yeah, well, I hate to disappoint you.
Well, It just comes naturally for you.
You should have seen the look on my face on my birthday when you never called. I even called you on my birthday.
I called you. You didn't answer.
You didn't even call.
I tried.
No, you didn't.
Tried. It just didn't go through. So, well, we appreciate your time. We appreciate you coming over here and doing a podcast with us and telling us some funny stories and everything like that.
Well, I'm sorry I'm so boring these days, but I am a grandpa.
Yeah, well, tell us about that.
Coming up on fifth time over. I'm about a month away from having my fifth grandbaby.
Fifth grandbaby? Yeah. Five grandbabies? Yeah. Not fifth. Five?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And we got, went to the daycare today and did a trunk or treat, and I tried to take a picture with little Georgia, and she kicked me and got mud all over my shorts, and wouldn't hold still and didn't want to take no picture with her pop.
Well, I got one question. It's supposed to be the question that I've asked in every podcast. I kind of forgot the past couple that I've done. So you're the perfect one to just start it back up with. But the main tagline of Off the Gas and On the Mic with Chase Holland was going to be, at the end of having a guest on here, we were supposed to ask, what if you could go back to being 21 years old, you could have the knowledge that you have right now, you wouldn't have a bad looks or anything like that. All that you could take from right now is the knowledge that you have, but you're back where you were exactly at 21 years old. Is there anything you'd have done differently?
No. I love my life. I love everything about everything that's going on now in my life. I wouldn't change a thing.
Well, I guess that's a good answer. I don't think you'd be the same person if you changed anything, huh?
No, I wouldn't. And, in 2017, I met my wife and started my life over again and with pretty much nothing. I had a 89 GMC single cab dually with alligator seats, and I had a 89 Holiday Rambler. And that's all I had. And I met Kim, gained a couple daughters out the deal. Now I got grandbabies coming out to Yang. Just great life.
Yeah. You had a three-wheeler, too. I hate
I
to keep tacking things
I had
on
that
you.
200 Big Red, yeah. It threw me out back over there, too. And I think that's how I broke my back. And
I had to let it go at that point.
Well, I had to let it go because it was the head gasket was leaking. But I thought it was just a valve cover, but evidently that was the head. I don't know much about motor.
Yeah, speaking of that, and then I'll let you go. The guy comes and buys it, rides it for the weekend, and then brings it back to you, and you took it back.
Oh, that
you gave him his money back.
Yeah, that was a different little son of a gun. Yeah, I took it back. I'm a nice guy. Hey, If you ain't happy with the products I sell.
So, yeah. When is mud boats ready for sale? You can go run it for the weekend, and if you sink it, just get it out and bring it back.
It'll probably be sitting out by the road. You know, a little while back, under the name of Mike Concho, with a J, I won that grill.
Yeah, you won our contest.
Y'all's pellet smoker under an assumed name, and I'm fixing to put that by the road.
Why? What's wrong with it?
Well, it turns out, as good as a Rec-Tec grill is, they're not worthy of hurricane weather. You can't leave them sitting out front uncovered when a hurricane comes.
So what happened to it?
The pellet swole up, and it won't turn no more.
Well, you can clean it out.
I tried. I looked at it. I tried to pressure wash them out of there. That didn't work. So
it wasn't a hurricane. It might have been the pressure washer.
No, they were swole up. It won't move. It just got I tried to help it. I got some pliers and put on it.
You can probably send it to Rec-Tec and get it fixed instead of sticking it by the road.
I'm just going to set it out by the road.
Okay.
Well, I asked two neighbors if they want it, and they were like, no, Mr. Wayne, we don't want it. And I was like, cool. Okay.
All right. Well, y'all can go to his neighborhood and pick up a Rec-Tec grill that I'm sure there's nothing too bad wrong with it.
Yeah, and Clear Springs Drive.
There you go. So we appreciate your time. We appreciate you being on here. I'm sure you've given everybody tons to laugh about and tons to think about for sure.
Maybe next time I'll be a little more you could make a list.
Well, part of it is like, you were I expected you to carry us like Joe Dirt. I just expected to sit here and just listen to your story from start to finish.
Well, sometimes I have stories like that, but there's alcohol involved sometimes.
Well, we got a fridge. I'll make sure.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to be a repeat customer.
That's when I tell stupid stories, but I hadn't had to tell any in a while. Like I said, just a happy man.
There you go. Well, Wayne Holland, everybody, thank you so much. We'll catch y'all next time.
Thank you for listening to Off the Gas and On the Mic with Chase Holland. What'd you think about what you heard? Please follow for more content just like this.